Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This is reading of God's word. Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We pray that you will bless the preaching of your word, that you will bless us, all of us who are hearing of your word, that you have promised that by hearing your word, our faith will grow, and by the word, we will be sanctified. So, Father, we pray that we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, as we hear your word. That your word will set us free. Free from sin. Free from this world. Oh, Father, we pray that even at this time, that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our studying of this book, Matthew. And we come to chapter 6, and we come to this section we usually call the Lord's Prayer. And last two Sundays, we've been just studying the introduction on prayer in general. So today we'll finish our introduction on prayer in general and start looking at each verse of the Lord's Prayer next time we look at it together. We have seen that the church is God's house of prayer. You are, if you are a Christian, you are someone who prays. We humbly come to God and acknowledge our inability and acknowledge who God is and His ability, and we completely depend on God. It is saying that we are not able. Those who pray, they know that they are not able. Thus, we have concluded that those who do not pray are the most arrogant people. For by not praying, they in fact say to God that they do not need God. We have seen that heaven is being built through prayer of His people. Those who do not believe in God believe and depend on their own ability, and they boast about it. But the citizens of the kingdom of God depend only on God. You and I, we acknowledge and depend on His power and His power alone. And our prayers, we have seen already, are God-centered, Jesus-centered, and heaven-centered. We seek His kingdom, not this world. We seek His kingdom and His righteousness. We seek heaven and Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. we store up our treasures in heaven. We serve only one master, and that is our God. And we have the mind of Christ, and we desire His will and seek His glory. We are not hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. Verse 8, which we've been looking at for the last 2 weeks, so do not be like them, the Gentiles, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And some of you, after reading that verse, you might have this question in your heart. If He already knows what we need before we ask Him, then why pray? And I guess this kind of question you have when you are considering the Calvinism that our church teach. If it is God who knows everything, who has power to carry everything that He wants, if it is God who, even before the foundation of universe, who predestined everything, who have chosen His people, if it is according to His will, then what is our responsibility? But today, let us just stick with this issue. It's why then pray if God knows everything that we will pray about? Well, go to Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to read to you from verse 32. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 32. God says, I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you, be shamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of being desolation in the sight of everyone who passes by. They will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste, desolate, and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left round about, you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Did you hear that? I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. When you hear that, is there any doubt in your mind that what God said will come true? God says, I said it and I will do it. Well, then it's done. But when you read the next verse, verse 37, it says, thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. See, it says, I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. He will do it, and that's that. But He also says, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. Yes, it is God who does everything. God says, you cannot do anything apart from me. Of course, we're talking spiritual things. Non-Christian, you know, they could do a lot of things. But they will never be able to please God. Yes, it is God who does everything, but God says, but I'm going to have them ask me to do it. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that God works through our prayers. Not that He needs our prayers. Not that He needs us. Definitely not. But He works through our prayers, and that is His good and pleasing will. Not only the result, but also outcome is decreed by God. I said it wrong. Not only the result or outcome is decreed by God, but the process is also decreed by God. God works through our prayers. That is His design. That is His pleasing will. And we must pray. Philippians chapter 4. We're just looking at many issues concerning prayer, as we have been doing for the last 2 weeks. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, we have looked at these verses during the Friday Bible study some time ago, but let us review. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, this is what the Bible says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When praying, we are to come before God with humbleness, and we are to pray with thanksgiving. Not giving thanks because you have received from God what you requested, but with thanksgiving you pray. Then the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And there the peace of God is the peace that we enjoy with God. The Bible clearly teaches us that we were enemies of God before. There's no peace between sinners and God. But because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, now we enjoy peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We have peace with God in Jesus Christ. And that is our heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us already. You and I, we truly deserve eternal wrath of God, but in Jesus Christ we have peace with God. Jesus Christ Himself is our peace. And this peace is already given to us who are in Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember that this verse does not teach that this peace is given as a result of prayer, but this peace is what makes us possible to pray. Without this peace that our Lord has accomplished, we cannot pray to God. And even if we do it, it's useless. So many people are so arrogant in thinking that when we pray, God has to hear us. He does not have to hear you. Especially when all of us truly deserve His eternal wrath because of our sins. But because of what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished, now we do have peace with God. But only in Christ. If you are not united with Christ, the only thing that you will receive from God is His eternal judgment. So remember, this peace is not given as a result of prayer, but this peace is already given to you. Thus, prayer is enjoying this peace that Christ has already accomplished for you and for me. As you pray, you witness that you enjoy peace with God. You show to the whole world as you pray that you have peace with God, that God receives you and you are His child. God receives you and hears your prayers. As we understand what has already been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, you start your prayer with thanksgiving. As soon as you come to God and start to pray, remember what Christ has already accomplished for you. Remember the heavenly blessings that you already enjoy in Christ. And I don't have time to go into all those heavenly blessings that we already have. But if you understand what has already given to you, then you have to start that prayer with thanksgiving. And because you start with thanksgiving, you also pray with joy. You and I have received a salvation in which there is no complaint, no dissatisfaction. I always ask you, right, what did Jesus not accomplish for you? What you did not receive from Jesus yet? Ephesians 1:3 says, we have received all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. And I told you, any teaching that makes you feel like you're lacking something, that somehow God loves other people more than you, that's false teaching. God gave all of Himself to you. How can God love you any more than that? Just because you don't have worldly things, you feel like God is not loving you as much. But God never promised you anything of this world. God gave you the other world, heaven. Because this world, whatever that you might have, or whatever that you might be seeking, will be completely destroyed when Jesus returns. So if you understand what you already have in Jesus Christ, you have everything that God is offering. Already you have it. So our salvation is without complaint, without dissatisfaction. The prayers of the citizens of heaven who live the life of heaven in which there is no complaint must be must begin with thanksgiving and joy. Now the new era has begun. Now Jesus teaches us that we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is really different from the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, we see a lot of people praying, but they never prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? That we pray now in terms of what our Lord has already accomplished. In the Old Testament, they had to look forward to that fulfillment. But you already enjoy that fulfillment, so you pray with that understanding that it is already accomplished. We pray now in terms of what our Lord has already accomplished, thus thanksgiving comes first. We pray in terms of what is already accomplished by God, thus we pray with certainty. Thus life full of prayer is a life full of thanksgiving and joy. We pray to witness the end of all our complaints in Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. What does that mean, that we pray in His name? Many people think that they could just ask whatever they want, and all they have to do is at the end say, "I pray in His name, then everything is okay." That is not what it means to pray in His name. It means that we pray the things that are worthy of His name. Or I heard a pastor saying, when we pray in His name, we pray the things that our Lord Himself would say amen to. Understand that you pray the things according to His will, and even Jesus Himself will say amen to your prayer. That is what it means to pray in His name. And as we pray according to His will, we must pray with confidence and certainty. And we pray according to His will, and we understand that God is able, then you will be certain as you pray. Matthew 19 verse 26, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So pray, brothers and sisters, for one another. And this is my sincere desire as we study the Lord's Prayer, that this church will become a church that prays. Praying for one another. When it comes to our sanctification, you and I know we have a long way to go. So brothers and sisters, when you see my lacking, you must pray for me. And when I see your lacking, I must pray for you. We must pray for one another. And because we pray in terms of what Jesus Christ has already accomplished, we cannot give up on one another. Because if you fully understand what Christ has accomplished, then you know that all of you and me, if we are truly Christians, we will be like Christ one day. We will be like Christ one day. Then how can I give up on you? Even if I see you doing some stupid thing, I cannot give up on you, and you cannot give up on me. you pray with certainty. You pray for your Christian brothers and sisters, their sanctification, and you know that God will fulfill it. God will make all of us His people like Christ one day. So brothers and sisters, but God wants to do this through our prayers. The heaven is being built up by prayers. The church is being built up through prayers. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8, therefore I want the man in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without dissension. Wrath and dissension. The prayer is the solution. We must pray. And last week we have looked at Solomon's prayer in the Old Testament. Let me just say a little bit of another prayer that we find in the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 9. And we don't have time to read the whole thing. That's another thing in the Old Testament. Prayer seems pretty long compared to the Lord's Prayer, which is relatively very short. But there, if you go home and read that Nehemiah chapter 9, we see a prayer, and content of this prayer is a recount of the redemptive history of God. The person who is praying recounts what God has done for him and for God's people. So it is a recount of redemptive history of God, and our prayer should have the same content. But the redemptive history of God we must recount is the history of our Lord Jesus Christ. What God accomplished in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we pray, we say what Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. And there are many parables of our Lord Jesus Christ that deal with prayer. And again, we do not have time to look at all those parables. But through them, our Lord teaches that we must pray persistently, never ceasing and never giving up. Our Lord Himself prayed all night. In fact, He prayed always. And when we pray, remember the Holy Spirit who lives in us helps us to pray. Holy Spirit Himself prays for us. Go to Romans chapter 20, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So remember as you pray, and sometimes, many times actually, you and I, when we pray, we feel our prayers are so weak. And they are. But remember that the Holy Spirit is praying for us. He helps us to pray. And sometimes we don't even know how to express. But He already knows what you are expressing. Not only the Holy Spirit, but also Jesus Christ is praying for us. Remember, when you pray, that the Holy Spirit who lives in you, He prays for you. And Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, He prays for you. And you know that their prayers will come true. Their prayers will definitely be answered. And they pray according to God's will for you. And your job and my job is to search the scriptures, study the Bible, so that we may know the will of God, so that we may pray according to the will of God. When that happens, then your prayers and Jesus' prayer and the Holy Spirit's prayer, they're united. They're the same prayers. And when you pray like that, you could have confidence, you could have certainty that your prayers will be answered. And when we pray, remember what Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." He answers far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And if you understand what Christ has already accomplished, you know that is true. Even as you begin to pray and realize what He has already done and accomplished, you realize even before you ask anything that He already far more than what you could even think, He already answered. But brothers and sisters, let me just end with this point here. What is a prayer? We've been looking at this issue of praying for the last 3 weeks. And let me end with this. If you want to find the origin of prayer, you need to go to God Himself. As you know, our God is a triune God. One God, but this one God exists in three persons. So one Godhead, but three persons. And those three persons are the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As the Son, God the Son came and prays to the Father, Jesus witnessed that there is communication among three persons. From the eternal beginning to the eternal end, among three persons of Godhead exists perfect harmony, perfect love, perfect communication, perfect relationship. And brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I pray that you would understand what prayer is. As God commands us to pray, God is inviting you and me to participate in that communication among the Trinity, to participate in the fellowship among the Trinity. Before the world began, there was just God. And there were three persons. the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And these three persons communicated with one another. There was fellowship among these three persons. And it was perfect. He didn't need anybody else. God did not need anyone else to be perfect. But now God invites you to participate in the fellowship of these three persons. He invites you to have relationship among these three persons. As you pray, understand what kind of heavenly blessing is already given to you. Just the fact that you are able to pray, that you are able to communicate to God, understand what kind of blessing that is already given to you. We fellowship with God. As we pray, we witness our heavenly reality. We witness what kind of relationship, what kind of fellowship we have with God. We witness the reality of heaven in which we commune with God. As we pray, we enjoy and participate the fullness of heaven. Being with God, communicating with God, and fellowshipping with God, that is what prayer is. That according to this amazing grace of God, He now wants all of us to participate in the triune communication, triune fellowship that He let you in the perfect community of God. Oh, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I really pray that you would understand every time you start to pray that you realize what is happening. That you realize what has already happened. For next time, we will look at each verse of the Lord's Prayer in detail. But from the Lord's Prayer, we learn who God is and what kind of relationship we have with God. We also learn of who we are and what kind of heavenly blessings we already have and enjoy. Our Father who is in heaven, God is our Father. Hallowed be thy name. God is holy and he receives our worship. Thy kingdom come. God is our king. Give us this day our daily bread. God is our master and our provider. Forgive us our debts. God is our savior and he is the judge of the world. Deliver us from evil. God is our guide and protector. Through the Lord's Prayer, we look to heaven and seek our Lord Jesus Christ. We must pray, and as we pray with thanksgiving and love. We pray with respect and holy fear. We pray with a heart of obedience and humbleness. We pray with a heart that worships and praises. We pray for God's glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your blessings upon us. The sinners like us are now invited to communicate, to commune, to fellowship with God. That we participate in the communication and the fellowship of Triune God. Oh Father, this is truly enough for us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.